America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Still haven't recovered, by the way, from the mocking.
Oh, yeah, well.
It's been years and I still am emotionally scarred by it. To have it happen publicly can really...
Yeah.
You can work at this job for a long time and still never get comfortable with it.
It's the perfect tone of voice.
That guy?
That guy. It's perfect.
I was being mocked and I'm still scarred. There it is. Well, I think the rest of the NFL is being mocked by the Chiefs, right? At this point. Is it a big joke, all of this in Kansas City? Just, I mean, come on. How could you not laugh?
Yep.
8-0. Every game is close. Back-to-back Super Bowls. It continues. Here to face up to all this is our friend Alex Gold out of Kansas City. 96.5, new station, sort of new brand since we talked last, Alex. So hopefully that's going well.
Yeah, it definitely is. A switch to FM. We were excited. It's something that probably should happen a while ago. So it's good to be on FM, and certainly having the Chiefs on our station now as well is a great thing. But do your listeners really want to hear from me? Honestly, like, do they want to hear from me in Kansas City at this point in time? Aren't they just sick of the Chiefs and me, I guess, at this point?
Dude, I don't even think I want to hear from you at this point, and I work here.
I might have wanted to consider this before calling you. I didn't consider this.
Well, I've been living over here like, nobody's too good for the Bills, and the record doesn't change that. But nobody looks so good that I can't see the Bills beating them. And, you know, I think in some way that is a disservice or disrespect to the Chiefs. The record, they just always find a way here. And, you know, it's not always that they don't get a penalty called on them or something. I mean, Mahomes was excellent when it was needed last night. And that's a hard score to beat when he's on like that.
Right. I mean, we've seen this story so many times. I mean, we joke here locally that every Chiefs game is the same. You know, like there's a mistake maybe they have where you could also see at one point where they might have been in a double-digit win territory, and the next thing you know, they're sweating out a game. And obviously last night was another example of that. And there seems to always be the one play that matters most they make, right? I mean, I guess that's a mark of great teams in sports, period. I don't care what sport it is, but you have the star player that makes the play, you get the goal line stop like they did a week ago against the Raiders, or were you able to just make that one play, even if you struggle at times in other areas? And they always, for the last three, four years, right, have been able to do that. And that's, of course, a credit to Andy Reid and the consistency that they have within the organization. But you said at the beginning there, I mean, Scott Van Pelt, I thought, was correct last night in postgame, even on ESPN, when he was saying that the Chiefs look beatable, yet they're unbeatable. They're unbeaten.
Right.
I mean, that's where they're at.
So, you know, I'm still kind of reeling from your statement about, do the fans want to hear from you? You know, maybe not, but the Chiefs are, I think, Bulldog, you would say too, like the Chiefs are the one other team that we're kind of like focused on. I mean, the AFC East is in shambles, Alex. I mean, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting the Bills to be minus 10,000 or something by Halloween. I mean, which they kind of almost were. They're four games up. So, and that's kind of, that Kansas City has had those years in the AFC West. Not exactly so far this year, but it really is all about Kansas City. Cincinnati has a losing record. The Ravens even have three losses. This can change, but the Chiefs are here next week. And the Chiefs are really what it's about, I think, for the Bills. I mean, overall, but also like in the present, in their effort to get the one seed, because it does look like for them that the division is kind of already theirs.
No question. Yeah, I think the number one seed conversation is the Chiefs and the Bills. I understand the Steelers are sitting there and would say, hey, wait, what about us? I just don't believe Russell Wilson and that team is capable of getting to 14 wins, because, guys, I think that's what it's going to take. And to me, the Chiefs and Bills are the only two teams that can get to 14 wins, in my opinion. And that's why the game next week is so massive. I mean, and we were even talking here locally today on our show, on and off the air, just like next week against Buffalo might be the last, like, truly big game that the Chiefs have, depending on what the Texans or Steelers are doing in December. And so, you know, that we're already kind of looking ahead to next week just for our station purposes even, because that game – I don't know if you guys agree. I mean, if Kansas City were to win that one, I think the one seed is over. If not, then it's going to be a fun stretch to see what happens between the Bills and Chiefs. I think Buffalo needs that one, obviously, head-to-head to stay in the number one seed conversation. But they're the only threat for it for Kansas City. I mean, how many times have – this is now, what, 4 years I've been going on your show, you going on our show, talking about the Chiefs and Bills with a big regular season game and potentially number one seed implications.
Right, and the one we've seen all kinds of different versions of that matchup, but what we've not seen any of these years the Bills have been at this status, contender status, Super Bowl contender status, is them getting the one. And for me, yeah, I was looking ahead to this game, really like just hoping for a KC loss somewhere. That's why last night stings so badly with Tampa having that look at a 2-point conversion to put the game away. Although there still would have been time for KC to put a field goal in on over top of them, I suppose. I don't suppose. There definitely would have been time. We live in a town where 13 seconds happened. So, yes, there was time. But now without that, and, like, I don't know. I mean, the thing I've been saying about the Chiefs all year, Alex, is, like, it feels to me like any game they've played, they could have lost. And so that's, like, I guess I'm still got to cling to that with Denver coming in this week before this big showdown with these two teams. The other part of it is the Bills' schedule. After this week in Indy, they've got the Chiefs and they've got the Niners and they've got the Lions and they've got the Rams, and it gets pretty nasty looking. Not that the Chiefs have a joyride, but I don't know.
It's closer.
In one way, I sort of feel like the Chiefs could do the Bills a favor if they run away with the one seed, because then the Bills can maybe just sort of play to rest their guys and not worry about having to play all the way to the wire.
Yeah, I think there's probably some truth to that. I mean, I think strength of schedule-wise, too, we were looking it up, that the Chiefs and Bills are that sounds way tougher than the Chiefs, but I think strength of schedule-wise is actually they're both very similar the rest of the season remaining, but that stretch you guys have coming up definitely is a little more challenging than what Kansas City has post-Buffalo, including a game against Carolina and Cleveland, I think, on the horizon as well. I think for Kansas City, the dynamic that you brought up there about what happens if Buffalo realizes the one seed is not in reach, could that actually, in a weird way, be somewhat beneficial from a how you approach the rest of the year? I mean, the flip side here in Kansas City, I've refused to talk about it, but if Kansas City gets past Buffalo with a win and is still undefeated, I said I won't talk undefeated stuff until they beat Buffalo. And if they beat Buffalo, then I think it becomes a real conversation, and then you get into – well, you know, then you're talking about the one seed. You know you would get a bye in the wild card round, but how do you approach that the rest of the way?
Right.
And that becomes, I don't want to say a distraction, but it definitely becomes a really interesting way for Andy Reid to maybe have to handle this thing down the stretch, because I'm under the belief if they got to that point, and they got a long ways to go, including beating Buffalo, I don't know how you prevent your team from trying to make that kind of history on top of the three-peat history. So I believe they would end up playing the starters late in the season.
Thinking about, like, sort of my quick interjection about the two team schedules, it's got to be the division opponents that sort of evens that out. And I don't know, I feel like the Jets are still pretty, like, at least a little bit respectable. And maybe, I mean, who's a better team, the Jets or Denver? I don't know, like, that's kind of close for me, but Denver has two or so you know, more wins.
Yeah, I think Denver's going to fall off here quite a bit. I think they're going to fall apart here with their schedule coming up.
They might. Chargers, too. Chargers look pretty good. So the team, though, I mean, we know the overall here, the macro in Kansas City, the back-to-back championships, and then this particular season where they're just, I don't want to say getting away with it. They're probably the better team in each of these games, but they're living on the wire a little bit here. How, if you look past the record and just think about them either this year versus previous seasons or what, I mean, the post-Tyreek Hill era maybe, Alex, like, is this Chiefs team as good enough to win? I mean, they probably can't win every week by six and go all the way. I mean, that's probably going to be tough. So are they good enough where you think like there's room for improvement, or, you know, how do they compare for you to last year's team, for instance?
So I think last year changed everything for the mindset of a lot of people here in Kansas City. We all know the wide receiver issues, and they led the league in drops, and yet their defense was top five in multiple categories. And then come playoff time, suddenly they weren't turning the ball over anymore, and Patrick Mahomes played great in the postseason, and the rest is history. And so it's really tough to tell anybody in Kansas City that you don't do this well enough this year to overcome that to win a ring again, you know, because and it's a really tough thing to say, well, they don't have good enough left tackle play because they got a bunch of inexperience. It's awfully tough to tell anybody in Kansas City that that's what's going to prevent them from winning. Now, I'll tell you, in terms of where they're at, I mean, they knew they needed to fix the wide receiver room, and unfortunately for them, Rashee Rice is out for the year. Hollywood Brown's going to miss 90% of the season, might come back come playoff time. But then now they go and they add DeAndre Hopkins. And so there's a lot of fans now, after seeing what he did last night against Tampa in just his second game and seeing that connection, that, all right, they're going to be fine at wide receiver, and come playoff time, there's a chance they have a healthy D-Hop with a healthy Juju and Hollywood Brown suddenly back in the picture. Oh, and Isaiah Pacheco's not playing right now, guys, and suddenly Kareem Hunt is off the street and playing terrific at the running back spot, and they could have a 1-2 punch. So there's a lot of belief here that they're making it work even better than they did last year with a wide receiver room, and they might be better positioned health-wise at that spot with the talent than they were entering the postseason a year ago. So people are confident that there is a lot of room for growth still. You know, defensively, I think their challenge right now is going to be the number two corner, because they lost their number two corner in Jalen Watson. So who's opposite?
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Trent McDuffie, I think that's their biggest weakness. Maybe on the team right now, opposite McDuffie. And that will be interesting to see what they do. And they didn't end up doing anything before the deadline today. I think they did call New Orleans to check in on Lattimore, but that was too high of an asking price in their opinion to get a deal like that done that the Commanders did. But no, there's a huge chunk of fans here that believe the best football is definitely not here. Like, I think the Lions, who were playing better than anybody, guys, have peaked, right? I'm not saying they can't play like this the rest of the year, but to me, the Lions are playing their max output. I don't think Buffalo's playing max output. I don't think Kansas City's playing max output yet. And that's why people are really optimistic, other than just being 8-0.
It must be comforting that Travis Kelce seems to have come around.
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, my goodness, the last couple weeks, 16 targets last night. I think that's a clear sign of post-Rashee Rice injury. If you look at his numbers from the minute Rice went down, early in the season when a lot of people are looking at Kelce and wondering, okay, has he finally hit that wall? Is age catching up to him? Rice was getting the underneath crossing routes. He's getting there quicker. He's younger. He was eating. I mean, his numbers were massive. The minute Rice went down, now we've seen the uptick in Kelce. So I think some of it is the route tree that they have him running is a little bit different. DeAndre Hopkins the last 2 weeks is definitely not hurt. My concern still, and I'm in the minority, I think, in Kansas City, is I don't think 16 targets is a formula I want to see the rest of the regular season for Travis Kelce. I think you do have to get off of that a little bit if you want to keep him healthy and fresh for the postseason.
What is the timeline on Pacheco, Alex?
The thought is end of the month. The Chiefs are notorious for slow playing injuries, knowing that they are in the postseason and going on deep runs a lot of years. So they are a little more cautious than some other teams. If they continue winning and Pacheco is close but not, they see Kareem Hunt still doing his thing, I wouldn't surprise me if they hold him out another week or two. But right now, end of Thanksgiving time frame. But if they're still winning and Kareem Hunt's doing his thing, it wouldn't surprise me if they wait a little while. I think the thought here is that run Kareem Hunt. The reason why they're running Kareem Hunt into the ground with 27 carries already twice since he's joined the team is that they know Pacheco's coming back. And so I believe that'll be a 1-2 punch to protect both of them when they get Pacheco back.
When we've talked in recent seasons, the conversation, it's usually closer to the playoffs or during the playoffs, and we get to what the Bills represent to the Chiefs. The Bills have beaten Kansas City on the road 3 years in a row. It's been a lot of consolation in that, but they have done that. But then there's Cincinnati, and Cincinnati has the playoff win at Arrowhead Stadium. And maybe it's right, you would say, to think the Bengals have been more, worrisome for at least the fan base than the Bills. I don't know. Right now in the AFC, Baltimore, I think, looks better than either the Bills or the Chiefs, but they have three losses. And then you have teams like the Steelers and, I don't know, maybe even L.A. that could be just annoying and could be a problem in the playoffs. How do you – Houston, too. How do you see the conference overall, and who might be a threat beyond Buffalo and Kansas City for you?
So our producer, who's been with us for a little over a year now, he's a Cincinnati Bengals fan, and we've been going back and forth, giving a lot of crap about Cincy because he's still under the belief that if they get in at even 9-8, that the Chiefs do not want to see Cincinnati, and I think a lot of that is based off of prior history and what you reference, which is of course Joe Burrow. Other than Brady, is the only quarterback that has beat him, Mahomes, that is, in the postseason. And yeah, I hear you, but that was also – it's been a couple of years. How many years are we gonna go back to that? And so I don't take Cincinnati seriously, guys. Joe Burrow's playing great. Their offense is great. But this is not the same Cincinnati team defensively whatsoever. And unless I missed it, they didn't go out and add anybody at the deadline. That was Baltimore that added Tre'Davious White. So I don't take Cincy all that seriously. I also just don't think they're going to make it to the postseason because I believe they're going to lose on Thursday. To me, this is a Baltimore – in Buffalo conversation, I don't think Houston is taking a step that I thought they would take forward. Their offensive line can't protect C.J. Stroud, and some of the injuries have really caught up to them. He hasn't elevated his game and guys around him the way we've seen a Josh Allen or Mahomes elevate players around him, around themselves. So I think this is a Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore conversation, and it's really tough for me to look at Baltimore because – Kansas City with Mahomes is what, 5-1 against Lamar Jackson? I'm not a big QB win-loss guy, but at some point it does matter in the postseason and overall. And so I still think Josh Allen is more dangerous in the postseason than Lamar, even if Josh Allen has also struggled in the postseason against Mahomes. But again, there's only two quarterbacks that haven't. So I think Buffalo is still the biggest threat, and then Baltimore, and then I would keep going down from there.
Really, it's Mahomes and the Bills' defense in these playoff games where he's got something like 8 touchdowns and no picks and just really efficient.
Last year was 9 yards a play or more than 9 yards a play offensively against the Bills in that playoff game. It was tough. How much concern is there moving forward about Mahomes' ankle? I'll cop to not knowing that he had been on the injury report with an ankle injury prior to last night when he stepped funny and looked like there was real drama and concern there. And then, they take a commercial and come back and he's jogging around and everything's fine. So we all saw that play out. Is that an injury that, we should be keeping an eye on?
I think it's something to keep an eye on. I mean, it's not going to prevent him from playing Sunday in Denver, but to the point what you said is he already had the injury, and then it got aggravated. And so I think this is something the rest of the season is going to be a problem in that regard, that it can be aggravated. We've seen this ankle injury at times throughout his career. It's another reason why I think the number one seed is so important for them in particular, to give an extra week since they had such an early bye this season. It's not going to keep them out, but it definitely would not surprise me if we see another moment, whether it's Sunday or 3 weeks, or heck, against Buffalo in 2 weeks, where it gets aggravated again. But Chiefs fans for about 60 seconds last night had the same feeling they felt when Mahomes dislocated his kneecap against Denver years back. That's the only other time where I think Chiefs fans legit thought, all right, the season's over. This is it. And then, next thing you know, he's laughing on the sideline and all is fun.
They cut to Carson Wentz, of course, and he just jumps up. He's coming to life. He's looking spry. I'm ready. Let's go. And then a minute later, it's like, oh, guess not.
Right.
Guess that's actually not going to happen for me this time.
Yeah, no question.
Alex, do you have a thought on the Bills? It's been interesting here. I mean, in the offseason, it was mostly about their losses, right, with Diggs leaving and some veterans on defense, and the division getting more respect at least. But here we are anyway, 7-2, 3-6. That's the top two records in the AFC East. And while they haven't always, I mean, the passing numbers have been kind of down, they haven't always looked amazing, they're getting it done. I wonder if you have a thought on just like their quality at this point.
So I thought they were going to win the division. I obviously didn't think it'd be by the margin that they're going to end up winning this. I was on with you guys this summer, I think, and we talked about the Bills then, and I said anybody kind of counting them out when you have a top three quarterback in football, you always have a shot. Your window's always open. Now, with that said, I didn't think they would be, to me, in contention to be, you know, one of the top two teams in the AFC. I thought there was a chance they slide back a little bit to where they're the third or fourth seed, where now it looks like they're going to be the one or the number two seed in the postseason. And then even just with the move, shipping out Stephon Diggs and the way that wide receiver room was going to look, if you would have told me that would have happened and Curtis Samuel would be essentially not contributing anything, I would have said, wow, this is, you know, how are they going to get this done? But Josh Allen's not making the mistakes in the red zone. We've talked a lot about that here in Kansas City, that, you know, is that going to pop back up? Because right now, the way he's playing, that's a whole different level to Josh Allen's game. He's making great decisions. And then a lot of people here were bummed out when you guys traded for Amari Cooper. That was a name people wanted here. That was prior to them trading for DeAndre Hopkins. Now I think people are fine with D-Hop. But at the time, everybody was like, why weren't the Chiefs willing to make that trade for Amari Cooper? And people are really upset, actually, about that. So I think that's what's interesting to me, is Buffalo seemingly was maybe ready to, you know, in terms of roster-wise, take a half step back, and then they kind of went back towards the middle of the table by trading for Cooper, and understandably so with the way Josh Allen's performing. And just across the entire AFC, guys, I mean, nobody looks great. I mean, this is not a year where we have a ton of juggernauts in the NFL, certainly not on the AFC side.
Right on. Well, thank you, Alex. Great to talk to you again, and I'm sure we will do another one of these when we get to January.
Hey, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Alex Gold out of 96.5, The Fan in Kansas City. Chiefs 8-0, Bills 7-2. Chiefs home to Denver this week.
Right.
And the Bills in Indianapolis. 1 o'clock games, both.
Nice to hear from him that Chiefs, like, people who care about the Chiefs were like, hey, the Bills traded for Amari Cooper. Go do a thing. Come on. What are you doing? Why'd you let... Because, you know, it feels often living here like that only works one way. Because they're the champs, so everything they do, you know, see Xavier Worthy. Why are you doing? Why are you letting them do that? It's nice to know that it works both ways, at least occasionally.
Thanks to Worthy for his minus one in fantasy last night. Mm. Great. Needed four.
Good job with the footwork on that one long one.
That was it. So early. It's like Davis against the Jets when I had the bet on Davis to score a touchdown in that game, and he gets stopped at the one twice on the first drive. Like, oh, you know, most people be like, oh, it's just a matter of time. Like, no, it doesn't work like that.
That was it.
That's what I thought of Worthy, too. Right. I just need 4 points. That was it. Maybe. The rest of the night, just clock just ticks by so slowly, and you're just waiting and waiting. Has a negative 10-yard rush. Ugh. Why do we play this game? Why do I need to have 237 teams?
Right. That was a trick play by Andy Reid that didn't work, by the way. That happened.
He overthought it.
Yeah, he did.
He must have overthought it, or else it would have worked.
And they tried that little shovel to Kelsey last night too, and that got shut right down.
He's getting cute.
Yep.
When it doesn't work, it's cute.
Yep.
When it does, it's brilliant. When it doesn't, it's cute. Mm-hmm. It can't be cute and successful.
And they still won.
And they still won. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Bills and Colts Sunday. And we're talking about the AFC playoff picture, of course. The Sabres are home to Ottawa tonight. That'll be pregame at 6 with Paul. Ross Tucker will join us at 5 today, usual spot on Tuesdays. Lines are open for you next after the update here on WGR.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.